Bless them. Amen. So it's good to be in the house of God this morning. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Hope you're awake. Thank God. Amen. I had to stay awake a little bit sometime. You know, when you get in church, it's peaceful. And then you, amen, get them eyes kind of getting in the tired. Amen. But you know what I say? If you sleep, you sleep on. Amen. Ain't nothing I can do about it. I ain't going to call you out. Amen. Thank God Jesus told him to sleep on. That's what he said. Jesus said, sleep on. Amen. They prayed in the garden. He said, can you not watch an hour with me? Thank God, well, we ain't no better. Amen. That's right. The flesh is the flesh. He said, the flesh is weak, the spirit's willing. I'm glad for that. Thank God for it. Amen. So I look forward to Brother Larry coming preaching a few days with us. And we'll have meeting them days, meet at 7 o'clock at night. 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, Brother Ken's coming to lead the singing. And I'm trying to get another fellow to come sing. He's a preacher, good brother. I might see if I can talk to him about coming to sing. And so we need to make a lot of it while we can. And remember the camp, too. I appreciate everybody's give to it and blessings, you know, being upon that. And I thank God for that. Amen. And so I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible this morning, Romans chapter 13. If you look with me there, Romans chapter 13. You know, I'm going to say this morning, that I don't know anybody that don't want loved. I believe everybody wants loved. I believe God put that in us, that's just the way God's love. God is love. And brethren, amen, he loved me. Amen. That's right. I thank God for that. I don't know of anything better. I'm just speaking now as a natural man and love. Amen. I don't know of anything better than that. I tell you, Jesus said, thank God. Amen. He said, the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is charity. And I know that's right. And you take the word love, and charity goes a lot of areas right there. But the word love, thank God's the same word. In a lot of these scriptures, he used the word love, used the word charity, which is agape, God's love. God loves you. You don't know that unless you meet him. I said that and I'll say it again. You can tell people that somebody loves them, but if they don't know him, they don't know the love. Amen. They can maybe conceive in the mind that this God, amen, that created all things, amen, listen, ain't God loves me, but I don't know that until I see that or it's manifested. Amen. I'm telling you, I got a Bible. Amen. The young people, children was taught the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, that's good. But thank God, listen, you say, how do you know your mama loves you? Thank God she showed it, amen. I don't think anybody ever knows who loves them, but they showed to them. I think that's right, don't you? Amen, love, thank God, sometimes, amen, is manifested in different ways. Amen, but I'm telling you this, Jesus committed his love toward us. God did, thank God, committed, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a manifestation. That's being revealed to us. Thank God that Christ did love us, and we know that. We know the love of Christ because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because what he did for us. Amen. He said, don't love in word only, but love in deed and in truth. And I think that's right. I think we need to do that. Amen. We prove that by the love that's in us. Amen. What did he say in Romans 5? He said, we know this. He said, the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given in us. Amen. If a man loves you, thank God he gives you, amen, the blessings of God. Thank God. That's right. And we look in Romans 13. This is the verse been on my mind last few days. And I'm going to read a few verses here around it. Thank God it maybe gets you an understanding. In verse 8, if you look with me there, Romans 13, verse 8. And this chapter is dealing with the governmental things and people is in charge. And amen. This chapter is dealing with paying your taxes too. Amen. And a lot of things he's talking about. And then he gets down to verse 8 and he gets to the important thing in life. He said, owe no man anything but to love one another. That's what you owe me tonight, this morning. I owe you that. He said, you owe that to your fellow brother. Amen. Sister, you owe that to your husband. You owe that to your wife. life. Hey, God, you owe that. That's something you owe. He said, "Oh, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." And then verse 9 goes on with description of that. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And so basically what he's saying here, if you love, thank God, your neighbor, you'll not do this toward them. Amen. If you love your husband, wife, thank God, children, thank God, church, family, amen. And not only that, thank God, others, amen. He said these things, amen, will be kept under that law of loving your neighbor and loving as you do yourself, and then loving God. That don't mean we can't break this, and it really don't mean, my friend, that in this the act of it, that a man can fall into this, a woman can fall into this, or apt or fleshly, and listen, a lot of times when sin gets in our life, our eyes become one way, and we don't see, we can't see, amen, we're blinded by it sometimes, and sin can blind you, amen, it does, amen, it's like a horse, thank God, running, he's just got blinders on, he don't see nothing around him, and that's the way sin will do you, it just puts you in a blinder, and all you seeing is what you're after, and listen, this morning, I've been there, you have too, thank God, you get your mind set on something, amen, you get that thing, and you got your mindset there, that you're after something that, that God don't want you to have. The word covetous means that. You're desiring things that you don't supposed to have. And when you're covetous, that means that you got unlawful desires within you. I believe covetousness, and I believe this, is one of the worst things a man can have, is to covet something, to desire something God don't want him to have. In fact, God told him not to eat the tree, but they did because she coveted it. Amen. Adam, amen. Ain't God ate it too. Look at Achan in the Bible when God told him not to take anything from Jericho. But he took the garments, took the silver and gold, hid them under his tent. Amen. Then thank God it stopped the march. And God said to them, amen, that you got to get sin out of your camp if you're going to go on. Of course, it was Achan's problem. He had to go before, amen, Joshua. And he said, thou art the man. He said, I'm the man. Amen. I took what I shouldn't have took. He had to confess that. He said, I have sinned. That's what he said. And listen, ain't God, it's hard to say that sometimes. Amen. If somebody come up to a man and said, are you a liar? Amen. They say, well, no, I don't think I am. He said, you ever lied? He said, yeah, I've lied. Amen. There ain't nobody in here hadn't lied. In fact, you was born speaking lies. Amen. That's right. But it's hard to take, amen, to see who we really are. Ain't God, friend, listen, the Bible's a mirror. Amen. It tells you and it shows you what you are. Amen. Listen, that mirror right there says, hi, this is the way you are. Amen. Ain't God. You're sorry. Amen. You ain't good for nothing apart from grace. I ain't nothing, friend. I'm the lowest man in here. Thank God. But I'm telling you this, the mirror only shows you, Brother Todd, what you are. But brother, listen, thank God, the mirror can't get that off of you. It can only show you. If I look in the mirror, thank God, and got something on my face. The mirror ain't gonna get it off. It's just showing what I look like. But brethren, there's cleansing in the blood of Christ. There's forgiveness in the blood of Christ. There's help in the blood of Christ. Amen. There's where it's at. The mirror says, this is you, and we ain't got a chance. But thank God, Christ said, I done give myself for you, and I can get it off of you. Amen. And he can get it off of you. Thank God. Ain't nothing he can't get off of you. Ain't nothing he can't take care of. Ain't God, that's why he came. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We all sin. We all lie. Ain't God, we all don't tell the truth sometime. But I'm telling you this, the only remedy for it, ain't God, not you trying to do it, it's him doing it for you. Amen. That's right. So we've lied. You know, Paul put his name in there a long time. He said, we. For we ourselves was like this. Amen. We. Amen. We. And then it got down to you. That's where you got to get. Amen. If you're going to get any cleansing, it's got to get down to you. It's pretty good if they say, now, as company has this, we've sinned. You've sinned.
Yes.
I've sinned.
Right.
Amen. See, the law of God wasn't given to redeem you. It was given to show you.
Yes.
Amen. This is it. That's why they got them stop signs out there on the highway. It says 65, 70. Amen. It's telling you this is the law. Amen. If you get a blue light on you, thank God you went too fast. Amen. If he gets and catches you, amen. I mean, I'm telling you this, it's put there to show you. Amen. He can't do it for you. It's showing you. And brethren, the law is perfect. But you can't live it. You out, listen, what the law could not do is weak through the flesh. God sent his own son in likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. God Christ came and kept the law, fulfilled the law. Everything about him is perfect. That's why we need him. You can't do it. Hey, God, you're imperfect. Amen. You can't do nothing. Brother, listen, I'm a cutter right in two. Ain't a thing you can do to get saved but just admit you're a sinner. Amen. You can't, there's no works you can do. Amen. I had an old boy told me, he said, preacher, I'd come to church, but I'm a hypocrite. I said, you are. Amen. I said, you're really a hypocrite? He said, yeah. I said, why you say that? He said, well, I don't live right. I said, none of us do. Amen. That's right. Unless God's in us and helps us, amen, you got to have the help of God to live right. And have peace of God. Listen, I said, you're not a hypocrite. A hypocrite's a play actor. That's playing the part they're not. Amen. God knows that in our heart. We all got a little hypocrisy because we ain't never as bad as what the Bible says. Amen. But when it comes down to it, amen, you've lied, you've cheated. Amen. Listen, he said, thou shalt not steal, you've stolen. Amen. Listen, ain't God friend. I'm just saying, brethren, that all men have sinned and the law, God says, here he said, listen, the law, that fulfillment of it is to love your neighbor as yourself. You don't do that, and I don't neither. You can act pious and all you want to, you ain't loving your neighbor as yourself. And your neighbor ain't the man that lives beside of you, even though it is. Your neighbors, whoever is in your path in this world, amen, and what you're supposed to do good things for them. Listen, you love yourself pretty good. If you really look at yourself, you love yourself pretty good. You ate what you want to. You wear the clothes you want to. You do what you want to. Why? Because you like it. Amen. Listen, if you're going to love your neighbor, you're going to have to take care of him. Amen. Like it was you. Yeah, man. If that man needs something, listen, I'm going to take care of this man like it was me. He said, "Love you, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That means I'm supposed to take care of that man the way I take care of myself. If I'm going to love him as I love myself, then I'm going to treat him like that. Amen. Because I sure want people to treat me right. Amen. But I'm telling you, friend, it's more depth than that than what we want to admit. And that's just something we brush off. Amen. But I'm telling you, the problem in this world today, and the Democrats and Republicans, both of them's a bunch of crooks. Amen. I'll tell you that. That ain't the problem today in the world. There's enough people, and I'm going to tell you, I just want to say it like this. There's enough church people, if I can use the word church people, if they had obeyed what I just said, I ain't got to change this whole world. Amen. If we had loved one another as Christ loved us and love us, love our neighbor as ourselves, amen, there wouldn't be a mess like it is today. And listen, I hate to say this, it's the God's truth. We wouldn't have to depend on the government for everything. Amen. Listen, thank God. Amen. When that man's dead there beat up in the ditch, and brother, listen, thank God he needed somebody to get him out. He didn't call the government to get him out. Amen. He said, I'll get him out. Amen. I'll pay, thank God, for him to be taken care of. I'll give. It's hard to get out of the wallet. It's hard to get out of some time. We're living in an inconvenient day. For most people, we got to have our way. Amen. And not God's way. And God's way says go the extra mile. And God, go help them people. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. And you're looking at one right here. I'm inconvenienced. I like convenience. But brother, if we ever going to do anything for anybody, we got to get out of convenience. We got to get out of what we want to do and what we can do and what we can't do. There's a man dying down there. And the Samaritan went there while the Levite priest walked up by on the other side. And he didn't help him. amen. He didn't go to him, but a Samaritan man went to him. God put oil and wine in his wounds. God picked him up. God put him on his beast. Took him to the inn. God told the man to take care of him. And when I come back, I'll pay you for taking care of him. And he didn't even know the man. I'm going to tell you where it's failed today. You want me to tell you where it's failed? Right where we're sitting. Right where I'm standing. It ain't the government. I don't watch that stuff. I used to watch it. I ain't into that. It's just a bunch of foolishness. But I'm telling you where the problem is. Why did they have them deacons in Acts 6? Because they had widows that needed to be fed. Why did the church take care of that? They said they had these widows that was neglected of daily ministration. And what did they do? They picked out 7 men full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. To sit on a pew. No, they said, "Go feed, you need to feed them widows and take care of them on a daily basis." Boy, I don't want to get rough this morning. I'm preaching to myself more than anybody. What in the world is going on? To actually say we got the name of church on the sign, and that, I'm gonna tell you, you know where the church, where the word Christian come from? It come from the outside world, of people that assembled for a whole year together, being taught the things of God, and they said them people's Christians. They probably was meeting daily then. It's meeting a whole year anyway, and getting taught the word of God. Now nobody don't want the word of God. They want entertainment in the church. Brother, I'm telling you what, I'd walk out of this church and give it all to you if that's all you wanted. It wouldn't bother me a bit. It'd bother me if it was going on. But I ain't in the entertainment business. If we don't want to learn that scripture and get in there where that word of God's at and get something from God, why in the world are we here? You can sit at home, Brother Todd, and teach your wife. And I exhort every man, thank God he ought to do that. He ought to take the Bible once in a while and say, "This is what the Bible says. Let's have prayer together." Why is the church coming together? That they might be made more like Christ and learn the scripture and get in there where God's at. I'm saddened today, brother. I read that last night, Acts 11, and I said, what has gone on? Where have we diminished so much that these people is hungry for the word of God, wanting the things of God, and today, brethren, it's just become a ritual, a formality, amen, and call ourselves the church, and brother, the church is called out assembly of people. It's not the building, it's the people, and brethren, I'm telling you, we've missed it. We've been caught up with so many things of this world, and I know the system's like at. It's just got us in a bind. Amen. He said, entangled with the affairs of this life, I cannot please him who's chosen him to be a soldier. I know that's right. But I'm telling you, brother, listen. We'll never get anywhere until we're willing, thank God, to help other people. Right. If I can die satisfied, that's about all I think of. That's about the average thought of anybody. I got a house, I got a bed, I got a car, and I don't want nobody to bother me. And I surely don't want to go out of my way and do anything for anybody unless it benefits me. You know what the first sign was in the church? I'm not talking about the world, the church. Perilous times shall come, men shall be what? Lovers of themselves. That's right. And brother, listen, I want you to look at me. There ain't nobody in this church that has as battle with that as I do. I like comfort. I like it. But I'm telling you, brother, it ain't no comfort in going down there helping a man that got beat up by a bunch of thieves and get him up on his shoulder and put him on his beast and take him back to an inn and say, "Here, I'll pay you for this and I'll pay you for when I come back." And you say, "Well, that man probably don't care nothing about it. Don't matter whether he does or not. It's up to you what God told us to do." Yeah. We're waiting on somebody that we think is going to be worth getting up out of the ditch. No, we don't wait on who's worth to get out of the ditch. We get them out of the ditch the best we can. It's up to us. That's why the world's in the shape it's in. That's, and I know we're not of the world, but we're in a world of people, and that's why we're in a mess. That's why there's hate. That's why there's war. That's why there's fight, and that's why all this stuff is going on, because it's about us, and it ain't about us. It's about Him. It's about doing His will. Thank God we'll never love one another. Thank God until we're willing to put some action to it and get our hands dirty. Right. Look at this thing here. He said, God help me, don't die on me. I know it's rough, but it's right. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's what's been on my heart. Anybody that loves you will not injure you. They will not do anything towards you to injure you on purpose. They might have some criticism to you, but it might be corrective criticism to try to help you. But they'll not do anything. That's not the intention of their heart, to do anything to injure you, to do anything to cause you, amen, not to want, amen, the blessings of God. Amen. You know, listen, friend, I never knew what I was going to preach on this thing because you usually don't. Amen. But I'm telling you this. There's some people, amen, that's been injured down at the church. Amen. And that's why they have a hard time, ain't God, even getting back in. I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about different people. They've been injured, ain't God, at a church, and it's hard for them to get back in the collective body. It's no excuse, but it's true. If you don't injure them, ain't God, they got some help. Ain't God to know God. Amen. He's using people to help them. Amen. The worst injury in a church is somebody's mouth. Yes, sir. Now, I want to tell you this. I say a lot of stuff I shouldn't say sometimes. I really do. I do. I say stuff I shouldn't say. Most of it sometimes is a bunch of foolishness, you know, and it's going on with people, and I thought I probably shouldn't have said that to them. But they know my makeup. I've been here for over 30 years. By God, by the help of God, y'all know something about me. Amen. You'd know, you would really know if I got mad, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
You'd just really know if I got aggravated, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I'm going to tell you something. One of the worst things in a church, I'm trying to get us somewhere. There's got to be unity in a church. Not everybody looks alike, believes alike. They ought to on every doctrine. Especially the doctrine of Christ. You can't be saved without believing that. Everybody's got different preferences. My wife asked me yesterday. She said, well, she was picking with me. We stopped over there at the barbecue place. And I got that barbecue sandwich. I know it's not unlawful. She said, would you eat broccoli head? I said, no, sir. I said, I might eat it if you give me a real big kiss. But that'd be the only motivation. I don't want it. What'd you get? Them French fries. Seasoned salt. Cherry wine. And after I left there, I said, man, I'd pay for that meal again, son. Is that good? So I got preferences.
Yes, sir.
You got preferences.
Yes, sir.
My wife's got preferences. What overcomes the preferences when you don't agree on preferences? The love of God does. Amen. What causes her to forbear? And that lady there to forbear me and you. Are we to forbear them? On things in the home that we don't simply see, and it's nothing really written, it's just preferences. Do you know where most churches split? Preferences.
Yes.
It's over a preference. Romans 14 told you about it. Go and read Romans 14. Romans 14 said, amen, some believe they can eat meat, some believe they can't. It's just a preference. Amen. Listen, it was a conviction for some. Amen. Certain days, different things. But brother, people run their mouth in a church about somebody because, I'm going to tell you why people do that. They think they're better than somebody else. They think they know more than somebody else. They'd say this, they'd say, if you, we ain't wearing ties. But say a man said, that man's supposed to be a teacher or a preacher. He ain't got a tie on. That's a preference. Give me a verse on it and I'll wear it. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of the commandments of men. They say this is the way it is, but there's no Bible on it. There's no scripture on it. I've been caught up in that in time past. And I'm telling you this, friend. If there ain't no scripture on it, there ain't no way. And still it ain't up to you to tell me what to do. It ain't up to me to come and tell you, hey, God, you ought not wear a certain shirt, amen, or something like that. It ain't up to me. If I have a biblical truth on it and scripture on it, I can preach it with full assurance. And most of the time when I preach like this, it ain't no plan deal. I'm just giving it why it comes to me. But I'm telling you, the problem in the church is, my friend, too many people want to talk. And you'll injure people that way. You injure people. I injure people. And see, that means love working no ill. It don't work hurt. It don't work injury. You can listen, if you know I love you and I do, we can be around one another, and you can be who you are and be at peace.
Sure.
But if I'm around somebody that's very judgmental, you got a wall up. Because you're scared to death they might injure you. I don't want to live life like that. I know people right now wouldn't give, and I ain't being ugly, I'm just being truthful. I wouldn't tell them this, but, and there ain't nobody here, okay? I really don't like talking to them because they're so injurious. He said, how do you act to an injurious person? Grace, I have to help you. Not everybody's going to do it your way. Not everybody's going to do it your way. You answer to your own master, and I'm not him. And everybody's not going to do it your way. Amen. Brother, listen, I like preaching. Amen. I like styles of preaching. But I like the truth. However they're telling it to me. Love worketh no ill. Look at the rest of the verse here. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love in you is fulfilling the law of God. Amen. It ain't a bunch of 1613 commandments or something like that. Hey, listen, friend, you can't keep them. But Jesus said, if you love me and love your neighbor, you fulfilling the law. That means if I love God, I want to be where he's at. I don't have to have a visitation committee to say, where you been? I'll tell you what, I've been saved now for nearly 39 years. And it could happen tomorrow. I boast on nothing. But you don't have to have people knocking on your door and asking you all the time, where you been? If you love God. That don't mean people don't take vacations. That don't mean people don't get sick. I'm just saying that there's a desire in you, amen, to please God. And brother, that's the way it is. Listen, if I love Brother Robert, I love God first. Amen. And the only way, Robert, listen, it's in the book. I can give it to you, 1 John 5:4, amen, or 5:3 or 5:2. Amen, listen, the only way he knows I love him is because I love God and keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. The word grievous means they're not burdensome. They don't weigh you down.
No.
You know why? I asked God that. I said, why don't you commandments, why ain't they burdensome? He said, because they love commandments. I ain't never got burdened down on love. He said, you can't get burdened down on love. That's my commandments. Love one another. Love. I write to you a new commandment. Love, love your brother and love me. Amen. Love. That's where it's at. Amen. Listen, can I tell you this? Listen. The law can only make a Pharisee. That means wear a white shirt and a suit and tie. Carry this Bible. I like the Bible. I don't have nobody to tell me to carry it. And everything's just in order outwardly. But inwardly, they hate it. There's people I know right now that go to churches and all they preach is outside stuff. And then people actually hate what they going through because it ain't nothing in it. The inside's where it's at. I don't know of anybody in here that likes pecans when eats the shell and not the nut. But I'll tell you what, they want the shell to look good before they get the nut out. Well, I've got some, Brother Todd. So we got pecan trees down there, and I don't pick them up. But I go by there and get one once in a while and pick it up because I do like pecans. If you'd shell them for me, I'd eat them. But I don't look at how the outside looks. Now listen, somebody said, well, that mean we can do anything outside? No, it don't. It means you ought to look proper. You ought to look like a man. You ought to look like a woman. We got too many men want to look like women. Too many women want to look like men. Amen. I think a woman ought to be feminine as much as she can. I think a man surely ought to be masculine, no femininity at all. That's pitiful. Dang. I mean, where's the daddies at in this world? And I won't say this. I heard preaching against this for it. It ain't nothing wrong with a woman going hunting. I heard them preach against hunting. You can get too far on anything. Thank God you might have to have her go kill your meat. I don't know what me and her would do. We're in bad shape. Amen, we ain't hunters. But I'm for hunting if you want to hunt. But I'm telling you, you can get on rules and rules and rules and rules and rules, and there ain't nothing but bondage, and they hold you down. It ain't nothing in it. Friend, looky here. Thank God when the bird got out of the cage, as we sing about, amen, he didn't look back and say, can I go? Thank God, can I go over here and eat off this tree? He's free, son. You say, what can I do? As much as God allows it, and it ain't against this book. Anything goes against this book, he ain't allowed it. Amen. But I'm telling you what, there's things that God allows. And brother, you can't, if you injure somebody in the church because they're not along with your preference, you're not fulfilling the law. You know what spirit living to do? Spirit living to do this. Spirit living will be the manifestation of fruit. Spirit living is completely by God. If somebody asked you today and you said this, how do you live your life? If you said by God, you also mean by God's word. But you mean by just freely God. I said anybody that has to follow the commandments of men will only make a Pharisee. But him that follows the commandments of Christ, it'll bring forth fruit and glorify him. And that's the way it works. And brother, I'm telling you this. I think one thing in the church, hey God, we're living under today. Amen. It's too much opinions instead of thank God the truth. And the truth will make you free. And opinions only bind you and cause you to get angry at people that don't have your opinion. Amen. Trying to help you. Love worketh no ill. It means it don't injure nobody. That means if me and Trevor sat down and talked and we didn't agree on everything, I want to know what you think. Why can we not say that? I want to know what you think. I want to know what you believe about that. I want you to tell me what you believe about that. I want to know. How can we not be open enough and somebody say, well, I believe it this way, and say, hey, ain't no way. That's me. But if the Holy Spirit's my teacher and he's your teacher, why can't we have a good conversation? I mean, we had that little bit out there. Thank God, I took them boys out there. Matthew knows about it. Nathaniel and some of them. We went out there and sat at the table. We read the Bible verse by verse. And everybody said what they thought. Amen. And what God had given them. And it was blessing. Every time we met, it was a blessing to learn. Thank God. And hear what people say. But we done listen. We done learn. Thank God. All these things that we can't hear nobody else. And what that brings, friend, when there's only one. One voice, and I am the voice of preacher, but I'm down when there's only one. Amen. Listen to people who say, well, he's running the church. Nah, God put me here to make sure you don't. Now I ain't got nobody trying to do that because they want God. I don't run your home. Even though I'm a preacher, if I come up there and said, Hey, you need to do this. You'd have a right to say, this is my home. Yeah, man.
Amen.
That's right, ain't it?
Yes, sir, that's right.
I don't have a right to come in your home and tell you what to do.
No, sir.
I'm not your police. I'm trying to preach to you. But I'm telling you what, people can injure one another like that. And listen, this is not no near my thought, okay? Let's use this man here. He's sitting on the front row. I've been using Trevor too much. Listen, my object of preaching and pastoring is not you do what I say. Not my object. My object of pastoring is to preach the word and let the Holy Ghost speak to you. That's my object. I try to lead as the Holy Spirit leads me, and sometimes I don't get a lead. But I thank the pastor of the church. He's the man, thank God, trying to help the people and be an example and preach the word of God and lead as he can. But still, it's the Holy Ghost. And if a man can't be who he is and you be who you are and me be who I am, all I'm doing is holding you back. There's no injury if somebody loves you. They're not out to injure you. They're not out to say things to you. They're not out to it. Hey, man, if you love somebody, brother, hey, God, they might have a lot of faults in your eyes, but you still look beyond that and love them people. That's what Christ did.
Yes, sir. He sure did.
I'll finish with this. And you've got the point, I believe, of not injuring people because you love people. And we know this record. One day there's a bunch of Pharisees and spiritual people in their eyes. But Brother Nathaniel, Pharisees are people that live by their own rules. Their own. And one day Jesus is in the temple teaching early in the morning. And the Pharisees come in and bring an adulterous woman in and throw her down before the Lord. And they said, this woman's caught in the very act of adultery. What does the law of Moses say? It says to stone her. And Jesus didn't say nothing to him. He stooped down in the temple and he wrote with his finger on the ground. I do not know what he wrote. If you want to tell me what you know about it, I'd listen to you. I don't know if he wrote the law. I don't know if he said, when he wrote, he said, well, not only the woman should be stoned, but the man that was with her should be stoned.
Yes, sir.
That might be what he wrote. And then he looked up after he wrote that and said, let him that's without sin cast the first stone. In other words, go get the stone and kill her. Right. If you without sin, kill her. I don't know if anybody in here could throw the stone. So Jesus stooped down and wrote again with his finger. And when he looked up, they was convicted. And they start to walk away. He's yet to say anything to that woman. He ain't looked at her and said, you one sorry woman. What you doing that stuff for? You know better than living in adultery. Not one word was said. Not one. He looked up to her, Brother Todd, and said, where are thine accusers? They had all left. I don't know, boy, this is good to me. You know why? Because he's now in religion and that crowd, brother, that condemning. What would you say? He said, where are thine accusers? Who accuses you, condemns you? And their first words was, no man, Lord. There ain't no man here can do it. That's gone. They gone. No man. But he said to her,
yes, come on.
He said, neither do I condemn thee.
Amen.
I ain't condemning you. I release you.
Forgiven.
That's right. Neither I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He released her and she left. Forgiven. Hear me and I'm through. Religious people try to injure you. Saved people will try to help you. They'll not injure you. Praise God, buddy. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad. Thank God. John, he got to work one day. He said, God woke me up last night. John 8:11. I said, well, yeah, what's that say? I knew what it said. He looked at me. I said, didn't he say, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more? I said, if God woke you up and told you that, he wants you to know that. And I believe that, don't you? You ain't under condemnation. Because I've released you. I said it to you. Anybody else could have said that, it wouldn't have worked. But Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. You remember that night you got in, or that morning you got in? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. That's why he had to speak. I couldn't get out there and speak it to her, but he had to speak it. And I'm going to tell you, thank God, if you're here lost and a sinner and you need God this morning, he'll speak to you.
He will.
Neither I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise God for it. Thank God. I want to tell you this. I'm through. I'm not preaching. I'm just going to give you a little advice. When you get over that prayer table with you and your good family, and Jonathan, you and Miss Jessica sit down, or whoever in here sits down. When you bow your food, and I don't do it always, but I'm going to tell you, it's good when you get to praying. Thank God for the food. But every once in a while, say, Lord, before I want to thank you for this food today, I want to thank you for your rich salvation that's been imparted in my heart. And I am a man of thanksgiving, because without your pardon, I'd be guilty. You start praying like that, son, you might wait a while before you eat. But you get to God thanking God wherever you at. Amen. And even around your children. Here's your children sitting around, they never have been saved. They can be. They can be saved. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more, Jesus said. Let's stand. I appreciate you hearing me this morning.